Hi there, my name is Principal David Miller, and I am now in my fifth year, which is hard to believe. I want to echo what Stephen said, that we really are appreciative of the relationship between the church and the school. And just a quick note, it's not in my talk or anything, but I got to add it in. Hopefully I'm not too verbose, but whenever there has been revival or reformation that has occurred in the history of the church, it is typically associated with an intense focus on Christian education. And typically a Christian education that is intensely focused on the celebration of language and art and sciences all working in harmony together. In other words, a liberal arts Christian education focused on human flourishing. When that has occurred in civilization, the church flourishes in that environment. So we are really appreciative. It's very important that we take the time to do this, even though we've done it, I think, five times now, and maybe I even will say some of the things I've said every year. But that's okay, because we need to remind ourselves of that and keep coming back to that. Well, one of the characteristics that I like about Plato's Republic is that Plato's political philosophy starts by trying to understand the nature of human beings and taking a close look at how those human beings ought to be educated. Now, I don't agree with Plato. I have no desire to be ruled by a philosopher king with a supposed gold soul. That's not what I desire. But I think we can take a similar strategy to Christian education. Meaning, before an educational system or philosophy is laid out, we first need to look very intently at our humanity. To understand our humanity, let me borrow an illustration from a Covenant Seminary class I took from Professor Bruce Clark. If I were to send an iPad back to the year 1890, and I asked a local barber to use this, he's going to look at this very foreign object and be quite puzzled. Now, to use this, what is he going to need to know? He's going to need to know, what is it for? And who would you want this guy to talk to? Well, he's going to want to talk to the people at Apple and discuss the features and capabilities of this particular machine, right? He's going to want to go back to the creator of that machine and ask, what is this for? He certainly could hammer with that iPad. He could play catch with that iPad, but that's not a good use of that iPad. Well, the same thing is true of human beings. What are they for? Well, we have a clear answer to that, and it's also our motto for the school, and it's the very first question and answer of the Westminster Catechism. And it says, what is the chief and highest end of man? Man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To know ourselves and what we're for, we need to go back to the source, which is God. Therefore, our educational system needs to be built so that it works with how God made human beings and what they are for. Using scripture and reviewing our catechism, we have this beautiful theological foundation laid out, but yet it's still a very challenging task to do Christian education, because Christian education can very quickly become secular. In fact, Christian education that has Bible verses, chapel, and even faith integration exercises in the classroom can become secular very quickly. Now, how could that be? It can happen when we adopt any motive or goal that isn't working towards that highest goal to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Let me give you an example. Perhaps we're really frustrated with biblical illiteracy in our students, and so we respond to that frustration by hammering them with biblical knowledge and demanding the answers back, and then doing intensive testing and harsh grading to generate a higher biblical knowledge. Now, biblical knowledge is a great goal, but if I treat the student as a means to my goal because I don't like the way the world looks, I may inadvertently, through my pedagogical style, train that student that biblical knowledge alone can make them a good person, and teach the student that their ultimate purpose is to be a reservoir of knowledge and to share that knowledge with others. And that student may end up being a very lonely person with very few friends in life if they're just constantly sharing their knowledge with everyone. So let's think about that for a second. If we use education to simply shape the world the way we want it to be, by transmitting this knowledge to them, that's basically what a secular education is doing. It's just an education that ultimately is for man. Christian education needs to be different. It has to embrace our humanity in form and content. I believe in reading great books, Latin and etymology instruction and rhetoric instruction, and all those wonderful transcendent concepts and characteristics that we desire to impart to our students, but we need to do this. We need to bring these true, beautiful, and good concepts and content to the students in a way that causes human flourishing. A humanities education is intensely relational. It involves questioning and dialogue, prayer, time to digest concepts. Students need to struggle with content. They need to explore content in the context of a community. Education should always be in community. And ultimately, they need to connect these true, beautiful, and good things to their personal lives and apply them. So ultimately, here's the bolded statement in the talk before I get to the brief report. This is the key. If you didn't listen to anything, here we go. Ultimately, Christian education is about right relationship to God. So ultimately, Christian education is about right relationship to God. A devoted and committed Christian faculty have a unique and important role to assist the local church and the family to mentor and shepherd students to that end, particularly at the high school level in their unique subjects. If a student becomes secularized in one subject or field, this can lead to the complete secularization of the student. For example, if a student is taught that humanity is a result of an accidental explosion of energy that manifested the universe, this is going to be in direct disharmony with the church. Having a committed faculty stand in this gap at this critical time in the student's life is very important to the student's future trajectory. So we need to pray for our faculty. This is a hard task to do, and it's a deeply personal task as well. A few notes on teaching before we move on to our report. I believe that at the core of teaching is ultimately surrender. John 3:30 is that famous verse that says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." This beautiful antithesis here. And I think it's interesting, a few verses before that, what does John say? "I am not the Christ." And I know for me as a teacher, that would be a great thing to say to myself before teaching every day. I am not the Christ. And I can tell you some of the greatest teachers I have ever observed are people with incredible abilities that have very little confidence in those abilities. That really makes a great teacher. That's one of the reasons why our master teacher profile says, teach with humility while professing truth. So they have the truth, but they hold it with humility, being confident in the truth, but not confident in themselves. So that's one of the things we've really talked about with our faculty, and really have been privileged to see them embody that and also take me down a few notches a few times. That's always fun to see in a faculty meeting when they do that. So it's really been great to see that embodied. And again, the message is that we're really trying to create a Christian community that's relational, that then brings the students into close relationship to God. So looking at our quick report here, we had a few new hires this year. Some of them are here tonight. So Mr. Eli West, if you want to raise your hand back there, Mr. West is our new history teacher, and he has a Bachelor of Arts in History from Hillsdale College and a Master of Arts in classical teaching from Eastern University. He's taught for a few years at a classical school in Nebraska and is really enjoying the Northwest. He is a big fan of art and Socratic discussion, so he gets along well with me in that regard and has done a really great job of getting to know the students. His classic film class has a lot of students in it, so they've been enjoying watching film and analyzing it and discussing that as an elective. He's teaching alongside me for this first semester for history. He's also teaching with Mr. Hanula, and he gets to go on the UK trip this spring and gets to observe that and take copious notes because in the future he'll play a big role in helping to lead that trip. So make sure to get to know him after the service. Pedro Mora, I think, is watching online. We are very committed to bringing Pedro here because I've been doing that for about 8 months now. I know a lot about international immigration procedures. If anyone needs to see me after here, it is. I think it's about $400 an hour though. So she didn't charge us that much, but. Pedro's at home watching this. It's that much money? No, it's really not. But Pedro has a Bachelor of Science in Biology and a Master's in Biology from Sapayo State University. He also, interestingly, holds a Master's in Philosophical Theology from McKenzie Presbyterian University. I had contacted Dr. Stephen Meyer at the Discovery Institute last year and asked if there was any job boards through their organization. And he sent out this job, and I got this application from Mr. Mora, and then I put it on hold because I thought I'm never going to hire someone from Brazil. And then over time, I decided I was going to try to hire someone from Brazil. So we were on great pace until the presidential proclamation on September 7th. I didn't sleep very well that night, but they closed all of the embassies in numerous countries, including Brazil. Those are now open again. So he has his appointment on Tuesday. So and everything should go smooth with that, but it's still an appointment, so let's all pray for that and really welcome him once he's here. I think he'll be a wonderful addition, and obviously he's already blessing the students with, he is serving as a 1099 educational consultant, doing some guest lecturing. And the kids have actually really enjoyed that, but they just would like him to physically be here for a science class. So we also hired, she's been around the community and been a parent volunteer, but we hired Mrs. Amy Wood. So Amy can raise her hand. She is now technically the assistant to the principal, but she really does, that title doesn't really do justice to what she's doing. Amy is really keeping me out of the weeds on things and making sure that the office staff is running smooth. She's supporting teachers. She's doing a lot of work with RenWeb and class registration. She's done a wonderful job, offered a lot of support. She's also teaching a couple science classes while we're waiting for Mr. Morrow to come, so she's been very busy this fall. But she has done a great job of helping us out and keeping the staff moving. Another big change this last year is we expanded college advising. Is Mrs. Sheldon here tonight? I know she's got a little baby at home, so maybe not, but she might be watching online. But Mrs. Sheldon, we used to have college and career class twice a week. We decided to consolidate that to once a week, and that way the Latin students can be in the college and career class once a week, and then Rachel's also going beyond just teaching the class. She's doing a lot of research and scholarship research and one-on-ones with families and really just trying to nurture all the students through that college application process. We know that not every student's going to go to college, and we focus on unique calling, and she's helping students with that too. We do like the college preparatory nature of the education in that it's challenging and rigorous, and the kids are really being pushed in their education. We really like that at Covenant, but we also know that not every student's going to go to college. And so she's helping kids with that, doing personality tests and talking to them about their calling, and that's one of the words we like to use is unique calling, so she can help the students in that process. We also, as part of that change with college advising, we've added by moving that to once a week, that opened up an opportunity for kids not in Latin during that junior-senior year to take a podcasting and journalism class. And Mr. Jesse Friedman, he can raise his hand. He's right back there. He's teaching that class. He's also our math teacher. And that's been a fun class to have the students get to do something, a little bit of an enrichment for them. It's a high participation class. They're actually producing shows on a variety of topics. They have students exploring all kinds of things, from conspiracy theories to the history of race in America to all kinds of things that they're doing in that class. So it's a really exciting opportunity. Next year, and I haven't even shared this fully with everyone, but The students not in Latin will have the opportunity to take a science elective, and Mr. Morrow would be the teacher of that. So there actually will be a little bit of a STEM component if students are not in Latin 4 that's going to be added in. We don't have that fully baked yet, but that's something that we're working on. Other big change, you might have saw, we added cross country, and we had 14 or 15 students on that team. We hired Coach Phil Ernst, and Coach Ernst coached at Seattle Christian for 25 years. He's currently a counselor at Pearl Street Christian Counseling, and the girls team qualified for state their first year, so that was really exciting. And we had five young ladies go to Pasco a few weeks ago and represent the team there. And the boys were not far behind them, almost qualifying as well. This past October, we had a full professional development day in conjunction with Covenant College. President Derek Halverson from Covenant College came with two education professors, Dr. Steve Kaufman and Dr. Jack Beckman, and they gave pedagogical training and educational philosophy sharing with us, and really blessed our faculty with a full day of training throughout that day and hearing Dr. Halverson speak. We invited other teachers from this church and other schools to come. I think we had about 45 people come that day. Mrs. Wood did a great job coordinating the logistics of that. And we had a fun day of just blessing teachers with their professional development and building that relationship with Covenant College that day. This spring, in March, we are going to do something new as well. We are going to do a community service day. So in March, Mr. Freeman and I are going to be planning that together. And we are actually going to be looking in the local region and have the students in their houses, which is a group. The students are assigned a group of the same gender, and then it's named after a famous Christian hero. So we have, for example, the Luther House is one of the houses for boys. And they will go in those houses, and they'll go into the community and interact with people, blessing the community, serving. I had the privilege of planning this at my old school, and it was a real blessing to the students just to take a day to do that. We know that's a very small thing, and that's only one day, but the idea is to plant those seeds just like a short-term missions trip does and get the kids just thinking about service and interacting with the community that day. We are going to go on our UK trip this spring. I should say Lord willing, but Lord willing, we are going to go on that trip. The plan is that that's Mr. Haniela's last trip he'll be planning for the school. And so we'll be, I'll be carefully observing too. Hopefully I'll be on that trip. I should be on that trip. And we did decide to only go to the UK, and that had a lot to do with COVID regulations and uncertainties. And many years ago, maybe even some of the people in this room went on the UK only trip. So we're still going the same number of days, and we are going to go on a few sites that are off the beaten path, so that's going to be pretty fun. There's a monastery that we haven't gone to in several years that we'll be returning to, and some other walks on the countryside we haven't done in a long time, and a few other sites. So a few off-the-menu selections will be on the trip, so it's going to be a really special year going on the UK trip again. We also, speaking of a trip, went on our fall retreat for the first time in well over a year. We didn't get to go to any of the state parks. They only allowed groups of 15, and we tried to book seven groups of 15. That didn't go over well. but we went to the exotic place of Auburn, Washington, and it was a great time. There's a great Christian camp there. Took the buses, drove all the way up to Snoqualmie. We hiked Twin Falls hike. I hadn't done that hike since I was 26 and coaching cross country, and I remembered it being a really easy hike. And then we got out there, and I realized that I wasn't quite in as good a shape as I was when I was 26 coaching cross country. But as we were halfway down the hike, and I realized we were committed, so we just started really encouraging people and going, and we all made it. So that's a good story. But Jonathan Nichols really encouraged me. He said, "Dave, if they can't do this hike, how is that Christian worldview?" So we just kept so we just kept going. So it turned out great. And lastly, I just wanted to really thank the church for all the generous support in the auction last year. We raised over $30,000. This really blessed the students, and of course that scholarship fund is not only a blessing to the students that receive it, but it's a blessing to the whole community because it expands the number of students in the student body. Those students, of course, are still paying at the level they can, so it still expands our budget, which people don't always realize that. And so it's a really great feature of the school, and having your support really, truly helped our school out. And then also, we had a lot of donors step up for those lovely TVs in the classrooms, and that helped us do some rearranging. So you've probably seen those. Those have been a big blessing for teachers going in and plugging in those laptops and then going to another classroom, plugging the laptop in a different classroom. So really just wanted to express my gratitude. And I believe I forgot to double check. We're taking an offering for the scholarship fund, or do we not plan that? I forgot to ask that. So you can give to the school. I'll scramble with some deacons in the back, I guess. You can absolutely give to the school at any time. That scholarship fund is, of course, a big, important part of that and is a real blessing to the school. All right, I think we have another poem to come up. And by the way, just make sure to check Lily's painting in the back. It's our theme, Pray Without Ceasing. And part of that, again, is just that love of the arts that we have always emphasized at Covenant.